Have a blessed day and welcome to the Amen Corner program on Podomatic. This is your host, Brother Dave Moran speaking. You are welcome to download and share this program. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." So here is today's word.
Praise the Lord. I believe it was General MacArthur. He was speaking, and he said, "In war, there is no substitute for victory."
Amen.
You know, but we can thank God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
he gives us that victory. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to fight. We fight, but He gives us the victory.
Yes,
I praise God for that. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah 34. I'll be beginning at the first verse of Jeremiah 34. That'll be my text. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I got this late last night. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's see. Jeremiah 34:1. It says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all of his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem, and against all the cities thereof, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and they shall burn it with fire." And they had sinned greatly in this Jerusalem, in Judah. They'd been sinning. They put false gods in the temple, and they polluted all this. Jeremiah preached about it, but he said, "This city is going to be given to the king of Babylon. He's going to burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall be surely taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon," you know, "and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go into Babylon. And yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not die by the sword." You know, he was going to save him alive. And we go from there. You don't have to remain standing, but I'm going to read a little bit more from Jeremiah 52, where it goes on. Maybe Brother William Earl, maybe you could pray over that reading of the text, if you would. Reading of the word. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to you. Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, glory to God, Lord. We're going to have to deal with you. We're going to have to see you. One day. Glory to God. Help us tonight, Lord. Praise your holy name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Be blessed, Lord. Help us. Glory to God. Help us. Help us tonight, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And amen. Praise God. And in Jeremiah 52:4, it goes on to say that, "And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about, so that the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah." That would be 2 year siege, you know, a 2 year siege of Jerusalem. "And in the fourth in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden." And King Zedekiah was given a choice. If he had turned himself in and surrendered to the king of Babylon, the city of Jerusalem would not have been burnt. You know, but he refused. You know, he thought he could get away with this. He thought he could do his own way, do it his way. But it says, he goes on to say, "Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, And they went by the way of the plain. But meanwhile, the king got out between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. And they took the king and carried him up to the king of Babylon, unto Riblah, and to the land of Hamath. And they gave judgment, and he gave judgment upon him. And when the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, he slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. And then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, bound him in chains, and carried him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. You know, and he had that warning. You know, he had that warning from Jeremiah. He said, "Thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but thou shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon." You're going to meet him eye to eye one day, you know, this king of Babylon, and thou shalt speak with him mouth to mouth. And you know, we all have to realize in our life, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. One day, we're going to meet Jesus eye to eye. We're going to have to meet him, you know, with whom we have to do. You know, praise God for all his mercy, his loving kindness. The book of Revelation, John sees a vision of the Lord. He said, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds." In Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him." Even so, amen. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. We were studying in our Sunday school class, and Brother George pointed out that John was blind at this time. He had been blinded. He'd been boiled in oil, and they put out his eyes too. You know, but he saw all these things. He said, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." You know, praise God. "And his feet were like fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters." You know, talking about his feet were like fine brass. Me and Brother Irvin know how that is. You know, we worked there at Ilco Unican, and I saw that brass molten in the fire. You know, it's still like these offering trays there out there. You can see that brass color, but you can see them glowing. You know, if it was not a lot of trash on top, if you're just looking at the brass being hot like that, it could look like gold, but you could see it was red hot. You know, praise God. Praise God. But one of these days, you know, we're going to have to meet that one. You know, that one, we're going to have to meet him and meet him eye to eye. You know, and that is going to be someday. You know, it's going to be a wonderful day for those that are saved, for Christians. You know, that we have that song, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice." You know, praise God. One day we're going to see him eye to eye. I had a vision a while ago, quite a while ago. I think it was when I first got saved. It wasn't too long after that. But I knew it was a vision, so I wasn't too frightened. But what I saw was a great big male lion. It was a lion, and I was staring right into his eyes, just close as I could get. There's this lion, and I couldn't see his mouth. I was just so close to him, I could see just his eyes and top of his nose, but I could see he was chomping on something. He was chomping away, eating something. I said, well, good, he's not going to eat me, I guess, you know. But here's this big lion. It had a big mane, beautiful cat, but there he was. I'm looking right into his eyes, and he's chomping away, and I started to look down at his mouth in this vision. I said, oh, no, I don't want to look. He's probably got some little deer or something. The blood is going to be going. He's just chewing this poor little animal he's caught. You know, he's eating that animal. It's going to be a bloody mess, you know. And sure enough, I looked down, and that lion had a mouthful of straw. He was chomping on straw like an ox, you know. And it took me right back to the Bible. It said one of these days, you know, the lion will eat straw like an ox, you know. And he'll let the bear and the lion and the little child will lead him, you know, the bear and they'll play in the cockatrice den, you know. But meeting those eyes, you know, meeting up with those eyes, one day, it's going to be a wonderful thing, I believe, you know. That's what I'm looking for. But if you're not quite ready, you know, it could be a fearful thing, you know. It does say it's a fearful thing to fall in the arms of the living God. You know, it's a wonderful thing, you know. But you've got to think about that one day your eyes are going to have to meet up with His eyes. You know, that's the one thing, you know. Keep that in the back of your mind. You know, you're saying, well, you're preaching to the lost. No, not necessarily. You know, we all got to stay on that straight and narrow road. You know, we got to think of that every day. And I thought about a dream that I had a while back. It was where I met the Lord in a dream, and He was talking about people that had gone on. I've mentioned it before. To begin with, all I heard was a voice, and I heard someone saying, well, what about, I can't remember the exact names that were given, but it was something like, what about Billy Harris? And the voice said, oh, don't worry about him, he's with me. You know, and I couldn't see who was talking. I was like John in the Bible here. I couldn't see, you know, and I looked around. I said, this is an interesting conversation. You know, I was thinking that in my mind. And I said, what about Geneva? Is she okay? And she, oh, don't worry about her, I've got her. You know, I've got her. Yeah. This person was given a list of all these people that have passed on, you know. What about Ellen Newcomb? You know, no, he's okay, I've got him. You know, and everyone that was mentioned, and I went following around looking and getting closer to where that voice was, and here I saw the Lord. I figured it had to be the Lord answering. Who else would know, you know? And it was me talking to him, you know. I was standing there, I was out of my body, and I went around behind, I walked around behind and stepped into my own body, and there I was, toe to toe with the Lord, you know. And I was there, and I gave a couple more names, and he said, don't worry about them. Every single name that I gave him, and I can't remember the names, they were taken from me after the dream, but he said, don't worry about them, I've got them, they're with me, they're fine. You know, they're in glory, you know, and good, you know. And I come to the end of all the names I could think of at that time, and he motioned me like that, come here, you know, come here like that. And I went up, and this was, you know, Geneva had passed away not a year, I think, from then. I think it was Geneva had passed away, and I needed comfort. And he signaled for me to come and get in and hug, you know. So I went and I hugged the Lord. And as I was hugging him, I put my head over his shoulder, and I said, there's his ear. His ear is 2 inches from my mouth, you know. And I said, Lord, and I was crying just about. I said, Lord, what about me? What about me? Am I going to make it, Lord? And I was serious about that thing. You know what happened? His lips fell silent, you know. His lips fell silent, quiet. He wouldn't answer me. And I craned my neck back so I could look at his face. I looked back at his face, and there wasn't a bit of anger. I looked at it, he had brown eyes. There wasn't any anger in his face. I said, well, Lord, why won't you tell me? Why won't you tell me? And we have a signal like when my mother and I would hug, and I think the Lord knows all about us. He knows our every in and out, but we had a signal that when we were hugging, like I was getting ready to go to school, Mom, she would give me a little extra squeeze, like a little bear hug, you know, and that meant it's time to let go and go on out the door, you know. And that's what he did. He gave me a squeeze, like, and we let go, and I let go of the hug. And I sure needed that hug. It took away my sorrow, you know. I got that hug from the Lord. And I looked at his eyes to see if he was angry, and he wasn't. But when he did that, he dropped the answer into my heart. He dropped the answer. It, like I said, the scripture I quoted before, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, I was asking him to judge me before I had died.
That's it.
He wasn't going to answer. He wasn't going to go against his word. He wasn't going to do anything like that. That's why I think that dream was from the Lord, you know, because it matches the scripture. And Paul, in his writing, he said, I haven't estimated that I've arrived. I haven't been apprehended. At one point, he said, you know, and I but this one thing I strive for, you know, to aim for the high calling, you know, aim for that high mark, forgetting the things that
That's
are behind,
it, right.
and moving for that high call, high mark, you know, forgetting what's behind us,
Amen.
And go forward in God, you know, and look to Him, you know. And I was asking the wrong person whether I'm going to make it. What I needed is a full-length mirror that I could stand in front of every morning and every night and say, what about it, Mr. Moran? Are you going to make it? You know, we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we going to make it? You know, you can look in your own eyes and be honest with yourself. You know, I thought about that, to preach tonight, and I remembered the day I got saved, you know, and the preacher, his name was Brother Williams. I don't really know him that well. I only saw him that time when he preached back in Flint, Michigan, and he preached good, but I couldn't say he preached me through to salvation. He talked about the Lord. He mentioned a lot of good things, how the Lord is wonderful, how He healed the sick and that He went about doing good, and how wonderful He is. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And that was all good, you know. And he invited, I've told this before, but he said there's a person in the listening audience that's been in church all his life, never knew the Lord. And I knew that couldn't be me, you know, because I'm a Lutheran. I was a Lutheran at the time. And all Lutherans are saved. That's in our doctrine. You know? So that's what I believe. And I kept resisting. I think it was about three times or so he mentioned that. And I said, well, can't be talking about me. So finally he says, there's some sick people. We want them to come forward and be prayed for. Anyone that wants to come help pray is welcome to do that. And I said, well, there's no harm in prayer. So I went forward and knelt with a man in a wheelchair. And I started praying for the man in the wheelchair. Where I thought I had faith for him, I do not know. You know, I surely don't know. But anyway, there was a little older lady, and I was 30 years old at the time. I was a young man. 30, and she came out of the audience and knelt with me. I said, oh good, she's going to help me pray for this man. And she started talking to me, you know. She says, just confess it out, honey. She said, I thought you were talking to me. And she was, and she said, just tell the Lord what He needs to know. Just tell Him, you know, tell Him, just empty your heart to Him, and he'll listen. Tell Him, you know. And I thought about, well, she is talking to me. And I looked inside my heart at that time, you know, and that's where I started praying. And I can't say that lady saved me. And there was another a friend of mine that took me to the revival. They were all instrumental in that. But from then on, it was me and God. And it was me and the Holy Ghost. You know, He gave me what to say. He gave me words to say. I started to look at myself. And I just didn't like what I saw. And I started telling the Lord, you know, my problems. I started talking to Him all about my troubles, you know. And I repeated many things, you know, and told Him how I had been and how weak I was in faith. How I could hardly do anything right, you know, and just getting down. And I had quit the Nazi movement 2 years before that. That was another dream. I saw the Lord. He got me out of that and told me, you know, no uncertain terms to get out of that movement. And there I was, you know, and I prayed for I don't know how many hours, but it was April 7, 1977, and I got home and flung myself on the bed, you know, and gave my heart to the Lord. But it was Him. It was all Him.
That's
after
it,
that, you know, the Holy Ghost, you know, was the one that dealt with me. And it's old-time salvation, you know. I thank God.
That's
you know,
it.
He does not change. And my final scripture that I would like to read is in Job 19, verse 25. Praise God. It says, and Job is talking, and he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body,
Yet in my flesh will I see God. You know, we're going to see God. Praise God. And whom I shall see, and I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. You know, praise God. Though my reins be consumed within me. But hallelujah. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. Praise God. You know, he knows. That is a wonderful thing. And I looked up Redeemer in the Bible Concordance on the computer, and it shows that word Redeemer first appears in the book of Job. You know, he's talking about the Redeemer. You know, as far as the word Redeemer, you know, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. And I'll see him, and he shall stand on that earth. We've got that. We got that promise. This word of God, you know, it's the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We got that promise that one day we're going to meet him. And there is one more scripture. It's Matthew 5:26. I'll just quote it from memory, paraphrase it. But it says, to agree quickly with thine adversary whilst thou art in the way with him. You know, and agreeing with the adversary, Jesus wouldn't tell you to agree with the devil. He is our adversary, but he's talking about him. You know, if you're not saved, if you're not serving God, Jesus is your adversary. And he tells you to agree with him, to agree with his terms. You know, come to terms with him now. You know, well, it's called today. And lest he hail you to the judge and they cast you into prison. He said, you're not going to come out till you pay that last farthing. You know, you're going to pay that price. You know, it's so wonderful to come to him and to meet eye to eye with him. That's to be able to meet eye to eye with him, you know, and to long, you know, like I said in that song, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Amen. If you we might have a season of prayer around the altar, I would ask you to come and pray and be ready to meet him eye to eye one day, because your eyes are going to meet with his eyes one day.
That's it, brother.
Amen. Praise God.
Glory to God.